Amen.
So, whatever it takes. Huh? So we're going to start a three-part series on the birth of Christ. A three-part series on the birth of Christ. And so we are going to start in Luke chapter 1. And so we know that, you know that scripture from Isaiah 7:14. They mentioned it today during the production. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means with us is God. God is with us. Amen. And so we're going to talk about in this first part series. I want to talk a little bit about John the Baptist, but I want to start at the beginning on Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse chapter 5. If you have a Bible and you want to turn that, it's going to be Luke chapter 1. And a lot of this is in the New American Standard. So in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. His name is Zechariah of the division Abha. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, and yet they had no child because Elizabeth was infertile, and they were both advanced in years. So this is a story kind of similar a little bit to, do you remember, with Abraham and Sarai? So they're advanced in years, and so they never had a child. To talk about the, so you remember when Jesus showed up on the scene, there was a lot of the priests and the Pharisees who really, they were opposed to the work of God. They were opposed to Jesus and what he was doing. So, and the difference was here was Elizabeth and Zechariah. So they were sincere about their faith. They were sincere about their duties. They were, you know, members of the tribe of Levi. And so he was a priest. So this was an individual who was definitely waiting for the coming Messiah, waiting for the coming Lord. Amen. And so, but they were infertile. They hadn't had a child. They'd served God all their lives in sincerity, and they didn't have. But it says this. But it says that. But yet, they did not have any children. And so they had this. If I had a point, if I put some points to this, my number one point was, so they had this area of unanswered prayer. They had an area of unanswered prayer, and we all have prayers. If you know the Lord Jesus this morning as your Savior, we have areas in our lives that we want the Lord to answer, right? Meaning that we've seen God. If you've walked with him any amount of time, you've seen God answer prayer. But sometimes there still remains some unanswered prayer. And so this one being in a lifetime of an unanswered prayer. And it says, and yet they had no children. Barren. An area of their lives that had no fruit. Zechariah and Elizabeth were not like many of the other religious leaders that I told you about that we would read about later that were opposed to the glory of God. They were sincere, but still had this area of unanswered prayer. And so it continues that verse 8 that it says, now it happened that while he was performing his priestly services before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And so I was reading up on this, and it was just talking about you have all these different, there was a lot of different people involved in the priestly duties that were from the tribe of Levi. And so he was chosen by lot, which the I was reading about, it could be a stone that they would throw that would have maybe an identification of somebody, or they would have this white cloth and there'd be little twigs in it that had a little mark on it that would identify the different people that were going to be, you know, that might be chosen by lot. And so however it came about, he was chosen by this lot, that his name was chosen. And it said this priestly duty of burning incense, a priest at that time may only get one opportunity or even a couple opportunities, maybe only one opportunity to do that in his entire life or his duty as a priest. And this day it fell upon Zechariah. Do you think it was by chance? Amen. You could be here this morning. I don't know everybody. I know most everybody. But you know what? You may be here this morning and it's not by chance. Sometimes things happen in life that we think is by chance, but I'm telling you this morning, I don't believe that you or I are here by chance. Amen. You may think it's by chance, but it's not. So what I'm saying is this lot was not like rolling dice and, oh, just happens to fall upon Zechariah. No, the Lord had determined that today that Zechariah would get an opportunity to go into the outer courtroom of the temple and go into into the holies, not the holy of holies, the most holy, but into the holy place. And he would get to go in there and burn incense, would be like us today, a time of worship and prayer. Did you know today that when you were worshiping God, if you know him as your Savior, it was like incense going up before our Father. He heard our worship, amen, because he is worthy of all our praise and our worship, amen. He is worthy of the praise and the worship this morning. Do you agree with that, amen? Hallelujah, amen. And so he was chosen to burn this incense. What an honor it was for him. And so chosen by lot, number two, I'd put, they would cast small stones. I told you about what they would do. And so, and he was going to burn incense, and they would sprinkle three spices. And we know one spice that they would put on this, where they would burn incense was frankincense. So they would, the smell would fill. Remember Jesus, one of the gifts he got when he was a baby was what? Frankincense. But when they were burning these spices at the altar, one of them was frankincense. And it would just fill the whole area with this sweet savor. And it might even blow outside the temple doors and go into the surrounding areas where people were worshiping the Lord. See, at this time, you couldn't come, unless you were from the tribe of Levi, you couldn't come in the temple. You could worship from outside. You belonged to the Lord, but only the priests could go inside to burn that incense. Amen. And so they could smell it outside, so they were worshiping God. And it says, in the whole multitude, in verse 10, it says, the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So I'm just setting it up here, setting it up, what was going on. Now an angel of the Lord, so here it is, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Appeared to who? Zechariah. Standing to the right of the altar of incense. So you can imagine he's doing his duty. He's worshiping God. He's burning this incense. And all of a sudden he sees an angel. Amen. He sees an angel. And the angel was standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw this, when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. I imagine this was a good-sized angel, a big angel. He was just doing his duty in the temple, and all of a sudden, he was interrupted by the supernatural. He was all of a sudden interrupted by the supernatural, and the fear gripped him, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John." So we're talking about how the beginning of how John the Baptist would come on the scene. A supernatural presence, an angel shows up and tells Zechariah, said, "Hey, your prayer has been answered." He was saying, "You've been praying about this for a lifetime, and the Lord is answering your prayer." When I read that, I get encouraged, because me, somebody who's walking with the Lord, that's still waiting for God to answer prayer. So what rang in my spirit as I'm reading this is the Lord saying, "Hey, I'm still answering prayer today." Amen. Even things that we've been waiting for, it seems like forever, for the Lord to answer, he's still answering prayer. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. The same God that has Gabriel in his presence. Gabriel is in the presence of the Lord right now, or he might be doing a mission on the earth that God gave him. Even this moment, God is still working among people. Hallelujah. It did not stop in the book of John. It didn't stop in the book of Luke. He's still working in his people today to bring Jesus Christ, bring people to Jesus Christ. And Zechariah, so his number three, I would say his prayer was answered. What a day of rejoicing this could have been for Zechariah. It was awesome, and even gets better, because this is what the angel says. It says, "You will have great joy and gladness." Man, not only is this prayer that you've been waiting for a lifetime, that shouldn't happen, you're well advanced in age, your wife is well advanced in age, but yet this prayer is going to be answered. And not only that, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice over his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And while still in his mother's womb, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't tell me that the children in women's wombs not important. God loves every baby. Amen. God loves every human being. Man, they're precious in his sight. Whether there's the age of this little cutie right here, this little boy, or you find yourself here in the 80s or 90s, you are still precious in the sight of God. Amen. He made everybody for a purpose. Oh, how he loves you and I. Amen. That's shout material. That makes you want to preach the good news. And let's continue. Verse 16, it says, he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. Verse 17, and it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He's listening. Zechariah's hearing this. Can you imagine? Getting good news, you're going to have a child. And then not only an ordinary child, but he's going to be part of fulfilling prophecy in the Bible. He'll be a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he's hearing that a prophecy that comes from Malachi about turning the hearts of the children back to the father and the fathers to the children. So you're going to have a child. And then he's hearing that's not going to be an ordinary child. It's going to be a child with the spirit, the heart, not Elijah reincarnated, but with the same spirit and power and anointing as Elijah. I mean, this is awesome news. Can you imagine Zechariah hears that from his body? Him and his wife will have one that was prophesied about. Amen. It says in Malachi 3:1, it says, behold, Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And that was being fulfilled right there in Zechariah's presence from an angel named Gabriel. Amen. It tells him this good news. But the problem was, and point number four was, too good to be true. Zechariah said, this is too good to be true. Zechariah said to the angel, how will this be? How is this going to happen? He's seeing the supernatural, an angel right there. And he says, Zechariah says to the angel, how will I know this? Got an angel standing in front of him, tells him this good news, and he says, how do I know this? How's this going to happen? So he had doubt and unbelief, even seeing the supernatural angel, even hearing that news. How will this be? And he started thinking totally in the natural realm. For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in the years. He's saying, I'm an old man, and my wife, take a look at her. She's an old lady. I think that's what he was saying to Gabriel. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Man, you see me. He's not being arrogant, but he said, I'm Gabriel, man. I just came from the presence of God. I'm not a natural being. You can see that. But yet you're still looking in the natural. You're still saying, how can this be? How can this ever come to pass? And I don't know about you, in this day and hour, as God begins to move in a brand new, fresh way in his church, I certainly don't want to have an attitude of, how can this be? Can you imagine being so full of unbelief because of what happened in his life and seeing the supernatural? He said, I don't think I believe it because I'm living in the natural. And the angel answered him and said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time. I'm telling you, everything that God is doing on the earth right now will be fulfilled in its proper time. I said, everything that God is doing on this earth today will be fulfilled in its proper time. Hallelujah. My job is to say, yes, I believe, Lord. Yes, how can I be a part of it? Yes, Lord, how can I be a part of the supernatural that you're doing in this day and age? And it takes the people that are finally tired to say, man, the natural is not cutting it for me, Lord. I want to be a part of the supernatural of what you're doing in this hour, in this age. The natural becomes monotonous. The same thing day after day after day after day after day after day. And I know there's an element of that that's just the way it is. But there's an element in Christ Jesus of a supernatural that you and I can walk in that's fresh and new and alive and a part of the plan of God on the earth in this day, in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to be a Zechariah. I'm not putting him down as far as, well, I kind of am, aren't I? I should say this. There's been times in my life where I've been a Zechariah. How's this going to happen, Lord? Some of these things I've been praying for. Some of these things that I haven't seen. Some things that I keep waiting to change even my own life. How's this going to happen, Lord? And what happens if we're not careful is then we just look at, it becomes that we just look at the natural. And then it's on us to make it change. That we have to have the ability, that we have to have the wisdom, that we have to have the intellect, then it becomes up to us to change the situation. That's where Zechariah had come. It says he was a righteous man. It said that he loved the Lord, but he became a person that says, if I can't change it, it won't change. I'm here to tell you today that you can't change it. There's things in your life that you cannot change. You cannot change your own heart, but the Holy Spirit and the grace of God can change you. Amen. You can't heal your own body sometimes. Sometimes you come to a point where the doctors can't do anything, and it's only Jesus that can heal your body. Amen. You may come to a point in your finances where I'm come to say a place where you're wrecked and you're saying, I can't do anything, but that's the time to cry out to God because he's the one that supernaturally can change it. Hallelujah. Amen. So sometimes it's good to come to a place where it's saying, Lord, I give up on my own self-effort. Amen. Amen. Young man, you may not know how it's going to work out at college, how it's going to be paid for, how things are going to happen, but if God called you there, Stephen, he will provide. Amen. He will provide. He'll take care of you, and you'll use you for his glory, but you can't have it all figured out. If you wait to have it all figured out to go, you'll never go. If you wait to have it all figured out in the natural, you'll never step out. Amen. I've just been thinking and praying for you, Stephen, because I know what the enemy tries to do. He tries to get you into thinking of how am I going to make this work? How am I going to make this work out? And when God's leading and guiding and providing, sometimes you just have to trust him. He's the only one that can make it work out. And he's the one that gets the glory. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So Zechariah said to the angel, how will this be? How will I know? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent, I'm reading this part again, presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and able to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be filled at their proper time. See, the Bible calls him and his wife righteous. They aren't like most of the other priests. Amen. I believe Zechariah had been living a life in the natural. I said that for so long, waiting for God to show up, waiting for God to answer prayer, waiting so long to see a change in his country. And when the supernatural showed up, he was stuck in the natural. He was skeptical. And then God had to shut his mouth for 9 months so that his words of doubt, listen, so that his words of doubt did not derail the plan of God. God wasn't shutting his mouth for 9 months because he wanted to show him a lesson and say, I'm going to show you. You back talk to Gabriel. I'm going to show you. No, he says, I can't have your doubt and unbelief derail what I'm going to do until John is born. And so that, what's that saying today, man? What comes out of our mouth is so important. The things that we say, amen. The things that come out of our mouth can derail what God wants to do. man, we got to speak those things. We got to speak according to the Word of God. We got to speak according to the things that God places within us. Amen. And it starts like this. If you're in a struggle, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you that you're leading and guiding me. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I've made a mess out of certain situations, whether you know him this morning or not. It starts with this, saying, God, I give up and I give it over to you, and I allow your grace and your mercy and your love to lead me. And he's the one that'll take you up out of the miry clay. He'll bring you up out of the pit, and he'll put your feet upon a rock, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. But if your mouth starts saying, no, how's this going to happen? How is God going to provide? How is God going to lead? You could talk yourself out of a miracle. You could talk yourself out of a miracle. And then what you do is you talk your way back into, if it's up to me. Without even realizing it, we put ourselves in a position that it's up to me. How about you? I don't want to be an individual this morning. We got a runaway. Hey, that boy wants to preach. So look at it this way, that God shut his Zechariah's mouth for 9 months, not to be cruel and mean, but to say, Zechariah, I can't have you derailing the purposes of God. You know, I've come to realize as I've grown in the Lord that if I'm going to walk in his supernatural, man, my mouth lines up. It declares the word of God. It blesses him. I won't allow things come out of my mouth to curse myself, to curse a fellow family member. I keep those things that I'm waiting to see. I just keep declaring, I'm going to see them. Regarding those family members, I'm going to see it. Regarding those things in my life that I'm still waiting on, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to see it. Hallelujah! I don't let out of my mouth saying, how's this going to happen? Because as soon as I do that, it's up to me, and I learned that doesn't get good results. Because some of us are more limited than others in what we can accomplish on this earth. It's just the way it is. And when you realize you're limited on what you can accomplish in the natural, you speak opposite of what Zechariah says. And we're going to find out next week when we preach on what Mary said. And what Mary said was opposite of Zechariah. Amen and amen. So I'm anticipating God doing the supernatural. A church has to believe that, saints. I do not want to have a heart that says, how will I know this? How will I know? In other words, Lord, I need you to lay out the plan for me before I can go forward. The problem is the supernatural goes beyond the natural mind and settles in the spirit of man, and we respond in the affirmative. Instead of saying, Zechariah said, bring it on, Lord. I'm your servant. I love you. I've been waiting for the Messiah. And I'm so thrilled, God, that I can be a part of this. It's amazing, God, that you're going to do something that I couldn't possibly in the natural imagine. But yet, even at your word, so be it, Lord. Even at your word, Lord, so be it. So I want to be one that softens my heart and mind and says, Lord, even so be it. I belong to you. I don't know how it'll work out, but I know that you're going to work it out. I know that you're going to take care of me in the future. You're going to lead and guide me into places I could never dreamed, because I simply say, Lord, I belong to you. Lead and guide me. Lead and guide me. Amen. So number five, God still does the impossible. You might be here and thinking, God can't do the impossible for me. You're a perfect candidate. He uses the least to confound the wise. He's not looking at your intellect. If you've got a good intellect, that's awesome. He's not looking at your physique. If you've got a great physique, God bless you. He's not looking at where you are as far as influence necessarily. He's just looking at the heart of someone that says, yes, Lord, at your word, let it be done. At your word. He's looking for Zacharias. Opposite of Zacharias. He's looking for people in Zacharias' position, but respond in the affirmative. Yes, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. Lord, I belong to you. take areas of my life that seem like a wreck. Thank you for washing them out by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you that I belong to you. And then say, Lord, I want your grace. I want your mercy and your love to lead and guide me and propel me into purpose. Amen. Doesn't matter of your age. There's many people that have been considered elderly, whatever that means. I'm not sure. As I get older, I'm not sure what that means. Right? Who just say, Lord, at your word, let it be done. Tom and Wanda Shaw, so good to see you. Man. Wow. Pastor Lee's mom and dad, our founder, missionaries for many years in Honduras and Guatemala. But you know, I was thinking, Tom, you guys did much more work than just in the mission field. You did a lot of work here. The Bible school changed many people's lives. So it's not just the mission field. It's just who you guys are, wherever you've been. Wherever you are is the mission field. Okay, I could start telling stories, but I'm sticking here, Tom. I'll have time. Love you guys. So honored to have you here. It's a blessing. Tom and Wanda, if you get a chance to meet them, please meet them. They're amazing people. And Wanda's over there, too. You hiding, Wanda? I can't see you. Yeah, there you are. You can try to hide, Wanda, but I see you. Amen. So you could be here thinking, you might be here and be thinking, God can't do the impossible for me. You're a perfect candidate. That's the type of people God uses, right? You might be here and say, I've done too much. I've tried before. Too much water has gone under the bridge. Sometimes it's just saying, Lord, I can't do it in my own effort. You've got to do something different. You've got to trust him. You've got to trust him and say, Lord, I need your grace and your mercy to lead me. You need to allow the Lord, the truth of his word, to wash over you, to renew your mind, to learn who you are in him. The Lord loves to take whatever the world considers, what we consider a failure. It could be 10, 20, I don't care how long. If you considered yourself a failure, the Lord would love to take you and change you and lift you up for the world to say, look what God can do. He does that for his glory. To lift people up and say, here was a failure, but they're my child. And I did amazing work in them. He loves the people that finally give up on their own efforts, their own righteousness, their own ability, and say, Jesus, it's going to have to be you. So it doesn't matter what your past is, he's got a future for you. It doesn't matter what your failures have been, he's got successes for you. Amen. And so maybe this too. Let me say the next point. Perhaps like Zechariah, a lot of skepticisms come out of your mouth. You know, you could. It's easy to say, Lord, I'm changing that. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates your heart and your mind and says, no more of that. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just talk to pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, he talks to all of us, or he wants to. And he'll lead and guide you. He'll tell you. He'll start saying, hey, don't cut it out. Don't say that anymore. His Holy Spirit will start teaching you the things that you need to see to affirm the gift and the callings of God in your life, to affirm the gifts and callings of your family, those in your family, speaking life unto them. That will change your destiny. That's why Zechariah couldn't talk for 9 months. Let me say that again. It wasn't because God was cruel. He couldn't have his mouth of doubt derailing what God wanted to do. Could you imagine? He goes home and says, I saw this angel, but now I don't know. Was it the pizza? Was there too much incense in the air? Was I breathing that in? And then I saw this 10, 11, 12 foot being, I think. And he told me this crazy thing, hon. He told me you were going to have a baby. Isn't that nuts? Isn't that crazy? Man, I don't know what happened there. I asked him how this would happen, but said, God's mercy, on Zechariah said, you're not going to talk for 9 months. Some of you, I know you're thinking of somebody in your mind and maybe in your household. I know you couldn't talk for 3 days, Cliff. Hopefully that doesn't last for 9 months. If he was willing, if he'd had a heart to line up with what God told him, he would have been able to speak. He could have taken that 9 months and declared to the world around him, God spoke to me. Me and my wife are going to have a baby. And then his wife would get pregnant and say, I told you, see, she's pregnant. And God told me this baby is going to be in the spirit and the power of Elijah and is going to do great things. Wait until you see my boy, and his name's going to be John. I already know what his name's going to be. He could have been celebrating what God was going to do. But because of his doubt, he didn't get to say a word. Didn't get to say a word. How about me and you being opposite of Zechariah and start declaring what God is going to do and doing? If we'll start speaking like that, saying, Lord, you take care of my future. I give you my life. See, he wants to be the one and lead and guide us. See, I've gotten mature enough in the Lord to know that as far as being provided for, I'm not gonna work my finger to a bone. I did that. I've already been there. Now I say, Lord, yeah, I'm willing to work. I do work, but I'm saying, Lord, you're my provider. And I start declaring that. If things start looking tight or situation looks tight, I start saying, Lord, thank you for the provision. Thank you for the providing. Thank you for leading and guiding. I just start allowing my mouth speaking, my ears here, into the atmosphere affirming what the truth of the Word of God is. So let me just say, as the worship team comes up, you love them this morning. Every morning. Don't you love this simple scripture? The purpose of it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I love the next scripture, though. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let me just say this morning, the Lord God Jesus is not here to condemn you. The Lord Jesus is not here to condemn you. But he's either here to save your soul or save an area of your life that needs to be saved and changed. Amen. And it comes to saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to allow you to lead and guide me. Sometimes just the battling, the fighting, we just got to say, Lord, I'm done with it. Yes. It's amazing with humans, sometimes we just got to finally say, I'm done with this, man. I can't do this anymore. Maybe some of you this morning need to say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Maybe it's you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to wash your sins away. Ask him for his Holy Spirit to come and live in you. What a joy it is to have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding your life. What a joy it is to have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding your life into all truth. That when you make mistakes and skin your knees, he says, get up, keep going. He doesn't browbeat you and condemn you. He says, son and daughter, get up. Brush yourself off. Amen. Keep coming forward. I've got great things for you. Don't allow the skin knees or the struggles to keep you back. But dare to believe and say, Lord, I still believe I belong to you. I believe that your blood still washes my sins away. I believe I still belong to you. And you get up and you just keep following him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Can you stand up with me this morning? I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, so this is going to be a little bit different. But I'm going to have everybody bow their head and close their eyes. Please, no looking around. I'll be the only one looking. I want to just say this. I'm not going to parade you up front, so don't be nervous. But I want to know who I'm praying for. So if you bow your head and close your eyes, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do that today, I just want to pray for you right where you're at. Would you lift your hand? I want to give anybody an opportunity. This is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Life is short, but eternity's forever. And He loves you. He loves you with a dying love. Anybody at all, I just want to pray for you. Amen. Another thing I want to pray, and once again, I'm not going to parade anybody. If you want to raise your hand and say, man, I'm just tired of the fight, and this morning the Lord spoke to my heart, I'm saying, Lord, I'm giving it to you. My situation, whatever it is, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Amen. There's hands. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, Father, I just pray for those people that lifted their hands right now. And Lord, I pray that in that area of restlessness, in that area of a struggle, or that area of just weariness, Father, I just pray right now that you, with your truth, with your Holy Spirit, would just fill that right now. Maybe just a fresh revelation and of understanding of your ability in them. Lord, I pray that every lying demonic foe that tries to lie to us, to get us to chase something in our life or to try to accomplish something or to try to measure up, Lord, we ask right now, we command that lying voice in all of our lives to shut up right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that the voice of the Holy Spirit would be clearer than ever before. Father God, I pray that the voice of the Holy Spirit in our inner man would become clearer than ever before. Father, I pray that we, by the Holy Spirit, would begin to understand, hear your truth. Father God, I pray, Lord, right now that out of our mouths would come, Lord, yes, Lord, I'm trusting you. Yes, Lord, lead and guide me. Yes, Lord, bring me rest. Yes, Lord, you're going to answer prayers that I've been waiting on still, Lord, that you're going to answer those. And out of my mouth is going to become declaration saying, hallelujah, Lord, even yet you're going to answer that. There's going to be a suddenly, whether it's by an angel, whether it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, or through somebody else, Lord, you're going to show up and that prayer is going to be answered. Hallelujah. So we thank you for that this morning. Can we lift your hands and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your strength this morning. Lord, we thank you for the truth of the Holy Spirit, Father. Bring in relief in those areas, Father God. Bring in rest in those areas, God. Bring in peace in those areas. Break in a bondage in those areas, Father God, by the truth and the love of God. So we declare that over our lives today. And Lord, we pray that people around us, Father God, would see that, Lord, that we tell others. Can I tell you what God's done for me? Can I share with you the peace of God that transcends all understanding? So this morning, Father, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your rest. We thank you for the glory. We thank you for the effect of the Word of God that changes us from glory to glory. You believe that, saints? In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, if you need prayer, there's going to be some more of us. There'll be somebody up here if you need prayer. If not, I just bless you and pray that the very best day of the week, Monday, would be totally blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Love you guys. Merry Christmas.